We're holding on page Nun Beis in Baba Basra, Os Yud Tes. Continuing on the topic of tzedakah that we've been on for a while, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Maisa b'Munbaz HaMelech. It happened with Munbaz HaMelech. Now, we find Munbaz and various other members of his family mentioned in various places in Shas. Rashi mentions that he was the son of Hilmi Hamalka, and we have Hilmi mentioned also in a praiseworthy way in a number of places in Shas. Rashi says that they were Mizera Hashminoim, that they were descended from the Hashminoim, and they were kings near the end of the time of the second Beis Mikdash. Marshob brings actually from Sefer Yuchsin, who in turn brings from Josephus's history, that actually they were a family of Gerim. They were the royal family of a country named Chadiev. It's part of, nowadays it's in northern Iraq. They were the royal family of that, and many, many members of that family, including Munbaz and Hilmi, became Gerim. And in fact, the Medrash tells a little bit about Marshall, refers to a Medrash that tells about them, that that two of the princes there, one of them being Munbaz, were learning Torah, and were learning Torah in translation, Mepashtos, and they came to realize that they can't really learn Torah and they can't really connect to the Eibishter unless they become Gerim and have a Bris Milah. In any case, this Munbaz HaMelech, Shabizbez Otsroisa V'Otsris HaVoisa B'Shnei Batsoiras, during years of famine, he spent freely his treasures and the treasures of his ancestors, the previous kings, during a time of famine in order to feed people. Josephus actually records in his histories, he says there was about 25 years before the Churban, there was a terrible famine in Eretz Yisrael. He mainly talks about Hilmi. We see from the Gemara that Munbaz was also involved, that they were spending huge amounts of money to buy, to bring, to import food into Eretz Yisrael to feed the people. V'chavru all of Echol Aves Aviv, his brothers and the rest of his family all came to argue against him. Omruloi, they told him, Avisecha Gonzu Oitzris, your ancestors stored away treasuries, Vosifu Al Shalavosam, and not only they kept what they got from their ancestors, and they added to it, and they added more and more, Vatabizvazta Oitzrisecha, Voitzris Avisecha, Mivazbizam, and you're taking all of these treasures from generations, and you're spending all of them. In fact, by the way, it seems from the description over here that he spent maybe even most of it. Some of Foshim talk about, you have the famous Takonas Usha, that you're not allowed to spend more than one-fifth of your money on tzedakah. So one Balabatish answer was Munbaz lived before that Takana. Takonas Usha was when it was so named because it was enacted when the Sanhedrin was in Usha, which is a couple of decades after the Churban. Munbaz lived, as we're saying, 30 or 40 years before the Churban. So the Takana wasn't in effect yet then. What? It's a sakana, there's that too, but Inyakov points out another point as well. He says that's a doichuk to say that shnei batsoros is different. But he says, you know what? A king, as it is anyway, you have dinim about a king is not supposed to amass too much gold and silver. But you know what? When you get down to it, the Gemara has an expression in Hodias, a king is never going to be poor. The Gemara talks about over there in connection with the special korban that the chatas that a king brings if he does an avera, where most people would bring a female animal and he brings a male one, and the Gemara derives there from psukim that even that when it comes to a king, sometimes you have certain korbanas that vary depending on how much the person can afford, but with a king there's never any difference. A king is never going to be poor. Therefore, by him, the whole concept that you shouldn't spend too much because you might become poor is never going to apply.
He's spending his oitzris, meaning what? Money?
Meaning treasures of money, yeah. To buy food, preposterous. So they're complaining, though. They're saying the fact is these are royal treasures from generations back, and how could you go spend so much? Omalahem, so he tells them, Avoisa gonzu oitzris lamata. First of all, my ancestors stored up treasures down here on earth. Vanigonazi oitzris lamaila. I'm storing up treasures up in Shemaim. Treasures of neshamas, treasures of tzedakah that will last forever. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Emes me'eretz tzitzmach, truth grows from the ground, with tzedek mishamayim nishka, and tzedek looks down from shamayim. So Rashi explains, in other words, the pasuk is telling us, when truth grows from the earth, then also tzedek looks down from shamayim, and the person is paid back for what he accomplished. So the Rif discusses over here. So where does MS come in? Where does MS come in over here? So he says that MS means the true way in which their throne and their kingdom was firmly established, and they figured for that they need lots and lots of treasures. But I'm doing tzedek b'shamayim nishka, that they are on the contrary. From there, that will accomplish the MS down here on earth, that our kingdom will be more firmly established because of that. So according to the Rif, Emes Meretz Tzitzmach is what my ancestors accomplished, but I'm going them one better. I'm doing the Tzedek Mishamayim Nishkaf. Yeah. The Chidah, by the way, has an explanation over here that he, first of all, he's going to mention six things. So he's going to mention six things over here. Yon Yaakov points out, you know, we learned before that a person gives tzedakah, he gets six brachas. Therefore, he's going to mention six advantages of what he's doing over what his ancestors did. But the Chidah goes into a long thing over here that each one of them represents. He's saying each one of them are vulnerable to Midas Adin, whereas I'm doing something that puts it beyond the reach of Midas Adin. So the first one, for example, that here, they're down here on earth, where they're vulnerable, Midas Adin is powerful, but I'm doing them Lamaila, higher even than Gvuras and Dinim. And he goes through all of them in the same vein. My ancestors stored up treasures in a place where the hand can reach them. Here on earth, people can always break in and steal it or something. I'm storing it in a place where nobody can reach it. As the Pasuk says, tzedakah and justice are the foundation of Hashem's throne. So they're under the throne of Hashem, so nobody can nobody can steal it from there. Marshall points out the word, you know, before we said that he said Lamata and Lamaila, so he's talking about in Shemayim, but Shemayim really in a certain sense, the hand can actually reach there. Marshall refers to later in the Masechta when we have the story of Rabbi Baba Chana. At one point in one of his travels, he tells how he met up with an Arab merchant who told him, I'm going to show you where heaven and earth meet. We'll talk about when we get to in a few weeks, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about what exactly that story means and what all the stories there mean. But in any case, so on the surface, at least he's coming to a place where you can actually touch heaven. Well, therefore, you can't say that heaven as a whole is Eina Yad Shalatis, boy. But here we're talking about Mechon Kisacha, the foundation of Hashem's throne. Well, the Gemara tells us in Chagiga that there are seven levels of Shemayim, and Hashem's Kisya covered is above all of them. Well, that's way higher than anybody's going to be able to reach, and that's what Munbaz means over here. Not just it's in Shemayim, which could be taken to mean the lower level that people can reach, but even beyond that. Then he continues, my ancestors stored up something which doesn't produce fruit. Yeah, they have these treasures stored up in their treasury, and they don't earn dividends over there. But I'm storing away mitzvahs of tzedakah, which produces payrus, which produces fruit and then dividends in this world. Payrus boilamazev, I can't tell him something about. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Imru tzadik ki toiv, say of the tzadik that he is good, kifrima l'lehem yechedu, because they will eat and they will enjoy the fruit of their actions. Every day in davening, we say, Eilu dvarim sha'adam erecha peresayim ba'olam azeh, we mention gmilas chasadim over there, we don't mention tzedakah. Marsha points out, apparently gmilas chasadim also includes tzedakah as well. In fact, the pasuk that it's bringing over here, Imru Tzadik Ki Tov, the Gemara points out, Marashah points out, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, what do you mean Imru Tzadik Ki Tov? What other kind of tzadik is there? There's no tzadik who's not tov. It means that tzadik Ki Tov is tov l'shamayim and tov l'abriyas. So therefore it means he's doing tzedakah and doing milas chasadim, and we're saying on him ki free ma'al aleihem yechelu, that they are able to enjoy the fruits of their actions. So we see, in other words, he's saying that my tzedakah brings about fruit and dividends in this world as well. Then he continues, a voice that gonzu oitzris mammon, my ancestors stored up treasures of money. Vani gonasi oitzris nefashis. I've stored up treasures of neshamas, which are much more important. Shenema, pri tzadik eitz chayim, as the Pasuk says, the fruit of the tzadik is a tree of life, v'lekeach nefashis chacham, and the one who takes nefashis is a wise person. So it fits, in other words, Marashah says, with the previous pasuk that he just quote. We just said, ki prima alehem yechelu, what is the prima alehem that he has life from it in this world? And he, with that, he's taking and amassing lots and lots of neshamas, which also, for the kech nefashis chacham, also means that among all those nefashis, among all those lives he saved, there's bound to be at least one chacham. And therefore, that makes the schus all the greater.
Why What does it mean? It means that he becomes absorbed?
No, it means, in other words, Pashas. It means that among all those neshamas that he saved, inevitably, at least one of them is going to grow up to be, is already, who is going to grow up to be a chacham, and therefore it means that saving any yid is like considered as like saving a whole world. How much more so if that pasuk, if one or more of those people is a chacham, then he has an even greater schos on top of that. So b'lekeach nefashas chacham, he's taking and amassing neshamas for himself, which includes also some who are chacham. And that's an even greater thing. He continues, Avoy said, Gonzu l'achirim, my ancestors stored up for others, because after all, they had these treasures in their storehouses, but ultimately, you guys are saying, Munbaz is saying to his relatives, you're saying they left them for their successors. So they're all, ultimately, they're not using it themselves, they're using it, they're saving it for those who come after them. V'ani gonazdi l'atzmi, me, what I stored up, benefits me, myself. Shenemo l'choti etzdaka, the pasuk says, to you, it will be a tzedaka. And the last one, I've always said, Gonzo lo'olam hazeh, my ancestors stored up what's going to be effective only in this world. Vani gonazdi lo'olam haba. I stored it up for olam haba. There was a keren kayemes, and there's peiris for olam hazeh, but the main thing, by keren kayemes lo'olam haba. Shenema, as a pasuk of a holach lefanecha tzidkecha, your tzedakah will walk before you. Kvod Hashem ya'asrecha, the glory of Hashem will gather you in. And gathering, you know, always refers to when a tzaddik passes away, it's always the word is vayosef al amav. So therefore, so kvod Hashem ya'asrecha means, Maharshal says, you know, we learned before in the sugya that one of the benefits of tzedakah is it saves a person from dinah shel gehenem. Well, then that's how it is. In other words, Hashem will, so to speak, gather him in and prevent him from going to there. So therefore, so Munbaz is telling his relatives I didn't waste all this money. I didn't spend it frivolously. On the contrary, what I'm doing with this money is much more valuable than what my ancestors accomplished with it. Okay. So that's the end of the sugya about tzedakah. Before we leave it, a couple of interesting things to mention that should have come up before, but I forgot them at the time. First of all, Ben Yehoyada brings a point from Kisvei HaRizal. The word tzedakah in Atbash is also tzedakah. The tzaddik corresponds to hay, and the dalad corresponds to kuf. So it represents the idea that when a person that as much as a person gives tzedakah, he gets in return. That's what we had before, actually, that we had a piece in the Gemara that said when a person works, when a person runs to give tzedakah, the Eibishter gives him greater opportunities to do it. So that's represented in this point, that the word tzedakah itself in Atbash is also tzedakah. What? Say what?
The Noth
knew back and forth as well. That's true also, right? Another interesting point, we learned a couple of days ago about Rapapa, that one time he was going up a ladder and his foot slipped and he almost fell off and he thought, I was almost chayv skila, what did I do wrong? And one of the chachamim says to him, maybe you didn't give money to a poor person. There's a vort from the Vilna Gaon on this in the pasuk that talks about giving tzedakah. The pasuk says, kifosayach tiftach as yod chalo, you should open up your hand to him. The trup on that pasuk is kifosayach tiftach. It's called the trup are called darga tvir. Darga tvir literally means a broken step. So hinting at that's what Rapapa almost experienced over there. Because the word darga means a step, because it has a step-like sound. Darga, and tvir means broken. That's the literal meaning of those trup's name is that. So that's what it has to do with Rapapa's the rung broke under him and he almost fell off the ladder.
What's the whole pasuk there?
Kifosayach tiftach is yad chalo. You should open up your hand to the poor person.
Yes.
Okay, new topic.
This is worth mentioning.
Yes.
Of course, the guy who's a retired for getting years into parshas, and one of them is a chacham.
Yes.
Rebbe has received the fair sensible darf gain and gas. Darf gain.
Yeah.
He has no choice because in the gas to find yidden. And who knows how many chachamim are walking around, they're waiting for you to come over to them. If you don't go on the street, they're going to be lost, Pastor Shum.
Okay, fair enough.
How many are walking around here?
Right, that's a different point. That's right, that's a different point, but yeah. Yeah, okay. Further on, the Gemara is talking about various dinim as far as much of this perek is dealing with dinim of dividing property between heirs or partners or whatever, where they decide they don't want to keep it in joint ownership anymore. So the Gemara is dealing with various ins and outs of those dinim. At one point, the Gemara mentions about a certain minimum size of a plot of land, of a field, or a garden, or an orchard, or whatever. How much is the minimum size that it would be considered to, that it's considered to be useful, such that if it's larger than twice that size, then each one can get his portion and they can each go their separate ways. So the Gemara has it. So the Gemara brings a din about that. The Gemara brings a figure about that, that Shmuel says, and then the Gemara says, Ein Eil Ela Divrei Nevius. These are just words of Nevius. Which means, so Rashi elsewhere explains, in other words, like he's saying it without giving a reason, as though it's just a Nevuah, where Nevuah, reason is not always given, behind it. In other words, elsewhere, Rashi says, it's not putting it down, it's just saying, you know, for sure, he must have learned it this way from his Rebbeim, otherwise he couldn't possibly have come up with such an idea on his own. Tosfos over here says it's not really meant as a compliment, it's just meant to say, like, it seems very arbitrary. But in any case, having mentioned the expression Divrei Nevius, now the Gemara digresses a little bit to talk about Nevuah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Dimi Dimin Chayfa. Rav Dimi from Chayfa said the following teaching. The Pashtus Chayfa over here is the same city as on the coast of Eretz Yisrael nowadays. Anyway, Miyom Shechorav Beis Hamikdash. Ever since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Nitla Nevuah Min HaNeviim VeNitna LaChachamim. Nevuah has been taken away from the Neviim and was given to the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? It was taken from the Nevi'im and given to the Chachamim. So what are the Nevi'im themselves? Otu Chacham Lavna. Aren't the Chachamim and the Nevi'im many times the same person? A Chacham can very well be a Navi. It sounds like originally the Chachamim didn't have Nevuah. But you look, for example, you look in the Rambam's introduction to Yad HaChazaka, which we're all going to be learning in a couple of weeks, Be'ez Hashem, when we start the new cycle of Rambam. The Rambam brings over there how you had Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua and Elazar and Pinchas and so on and so forth, going through the generations, and each one of them, many of them are Nevi'im, and they were all, and each one in his time was the head. Many of those Nevi'im were in their time the head of the central based in, and the one, the Makabala, Kabbalah, the one who received Torah Shabbat Peh and passed it down to the next generation. So what it means is, Afa Pishin Nitla Min HaNevi'im, even though Nevuah has been taken away from the Nevi'im, Min haChachamim my Nifa. However, it was not taken away from the Chachamim. The Chachamim still have a semblance of Nevuah. So there's a lot of different points on that. In what way do we see, in what way do the Chachamim have Nevuah? One thing is because they have Ruach HaKodesh. And as the Gemara is going to go on to say, in a way, the Chacham is greater than the Navi. The Gemara is going to go on to say. But Marashah brings up the point over here. And then Hakosev also brings from Ramban that so in other words here Rashi's expression is on the Gemara is that when we're saying it was taken away from the Nevi'im, not necessarily with the Nevi'im Chachamim, it was taken away from the Nevi'im whether they were the ones who were not Chachamim, but the ones who were Chachamim it remained with them. Now, the question then is, the Hakosev brings over here from the Ramban, so wait a minute, to begin with, how does a person become a Navi without being a Chacham? So first he brings an explanation that when Hashem, to appoint somebody as a permanent Navi, that the Gemara tells us in the Nedarim, he has to have a number of qualities. One of them is he has to be a Chacham. But you could have, Hashem sends a Navi as a one-time thing. An example would be Yonah going to Nineveh. Then it doesn't necessarily have to be that he's a Chacham. Hashem could choose somebody who is a Chassid and is close to the Eivishta, even though he's not a Chacham, even though he's not so great in Torah. However, then Hakosev goes on to bring. He says, "I don't really like that explanation. Rather, what it means is the true Nevuah was taken away from the Nevi'im, but the Chachamim they don't have actual Nevuah. They have Ruach HaKodesh, and with that they can discern the truth." So he goes on to bring from the Ritva, who says somewhat the same thing. So Maharsho also points out basically the same point. The Gemara tells us in Nedarim that we learn that a Navi has to be a Chacham and several other qualities. He has to be rich, among other things. We learn that from Moshe Rabbeinu because he got the chips of the second Luchas and became rich from that. So the question is, well, then until then he wasn't rich. How did Hashem put his Nishin on him? And the answer is because there's a difference between the Kvius and not. So same idea. In other words, there can be a person who temporarily is a Navi, even if he doesn't have all the regular qualities of a Navi. So the Gemara continues. Omar Amen, a Chacham Odif Mi Navi. A Chacham, in a way, is greater than a Navi. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'Navi Levav Chachma. Now, the simple meaning of the pasuk means we will bring, and Hashem help us, to be able to achieve a heart of wisdom. But the Gemara's understanding of it, you have a Navi, Miloshen, a Navi. So the Navi has a heart of wisdom. So Amema says, me, Mithlam, and me. Now, when you're saying that, when you're comparing one person or one thing to another, which one do we compare to what? Havana, Kut, and Nitla Begado, we compare the lesser one to the greater one. So if we're saying the Navi has a heart of wisdom, that means the one who has wisdom, the Chacham, in Torah, is greater even than the Navi. So like as if like if the Navi is a lesser one, you want to know how great the Navi is, he's as great as a Chacham, implying that he's a that he has a quality of a Chacham, implying that the Chacham himself is greater than him. Now, in what way is a Chacham greater than a Navi? There's many, many different explanations about it. Among them are a Navi is able to see things that people don't know yet, because a Navi, Hashem tells him the future. But these are things that people could be able to comprehend with their own seichel, that it's in the future, so they don't know it yet. Whereas a Chacham is able to think up, to develop and come up with ideas in Torah that no human seichel ever could have even thought of. So you have that, you have the point, for example, Ben Yehoyada makes a point. For example, the Gemara tells us in... the Gemara tells us in Tumura that after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, the Yidden forgot hundreds of halachas. So, and now, what do? We can't have a Navi after Moshe restore those halachas. They said, they asked Yeshua, he said, no, a Navi is not allowed to add anything new to the Torah. In later generations, they asked Shmuel, etc. On the other hand, the Gemara goes on to say over there that Othniel ben Knaz, who was an enormous Talmud Chacham, he was able to restore, he was able to reconstruct all those halachas from his vast knowledge of Torah. So we see that a Chacham is actually greater than a Navi. He was able to restore these lost halachas where a Navi was not able to. And you have many, many different explanations of what exactly is the advantage of the Chacham over the Navi. So the Gemara continues. Omar Abaya Tega. So Abaya says, you know what, you can see that. That you can see this that we said, that Nevuah has not been taken away from the Chachamim. You can see that. Da Omar Gabra Rabba Milsa. Sometimes it happens that a great person, a Talmud Chacham, says a statement in Torah, O Misama, Mishmeda Gabra Rabba, Akrina Kabase. And it's said in the name of some other great Talmud Chacham in his name. You know, you have the expression sometimes, Baruch Shekivanti, right? Like a person comes up with a chiddush of his own, and it turns out that chiddush is found in some earlier sefer. So you see, now, how would he have known it? He didn't see it in that sefer. It must be that he had a degree of Ruach HaKodesh to be able to get it. In fact, there is in that connection, there's a well-known story involving Beis Yosef, I think it was, where one time he's toiling very hard on some concept in Torah, and he finally manages to come up with a teretz there, and then he goes to the local Beis Medrash, and he hears a Pasha to Yid, a relatively Pasha to Yid, sitting and saying the same thing. Like, how is it, you know, that guy came about it right away, whereas me, I had to horga over it. And then his Magid, the special Malach who came to him and taught him secrets of Torah, explains to him, once you opened up the Tzinner, once you opened up the pathway, Min HaShemayim, for the Chiddush to come down to the world that's more accessible to others. But now the Gemara is saying that Abaya is saying that seems to be an example of Ruach HaKodesh. Maushah actually explains the vote differently. That what it could be is, let's say, for example, so a great Talmud Chacham says something, namely we heard it in his name. And then we heard, then now we find out that actually the same thing was said by another Gavra Rabba, by another great Talmud Chacham, where we hadn't heard it from him. So in other words, both of them would have. So you don't really need. In other words, Maushal's point is that if the first one said it just from Svara, then why do we need to assume that Nevuah for the second one to be able to say it? So it means, in other words, that we one of them we heard it directly from him, the other one we did not. So it must be, in other words, the first one. So in other words, we can say both of them it was a matter of Nevuah. The first one came up with it independently as a matter of Nevuah. The second one also came up with it in when we heard it directly from him as a matter of Nevuah. So neither one really was it a svara of his own. Omar Rava, but Rava says, my kusha, why is that so hard to understand? That doesn't mean that either one of them had nevuah. Duma tavayu bnei chad mazlan inhu. Maybe both of them have the same mazel, they both have the same shodash haneshama, and therefore, what one of them is able to think up in Torah, the other one is also able to, even in a later generation. There's also, by the way, in this connection, worth mentioning a famous vort, famous vort on it, where there was someone, I don't remember who, some great rav who one time said a chiddush, and somebody told him, you know, you can find the same thing in an earlier sefer, like as though to imply, like maybe you plagiarized it from him or something. I don't know, with the Beis Halevi. So the rav answers, you know what, when two people are walking on the same straight road, when you walk on the straight road, you're inevitably gonna meet up with other people who are going in the same direction. You go on a crooked path in the middle of nowhere, yeah, you're likely to be the only one on it. So the same way, when you're thinking straight and turda, yeah, you're going to find often that there are other people who have the same mindset. So that's basically what Rava is saying over here. You have two people who have the same mazel. They have the same shirdash and neshama. Therefore, they have the same mindset, and naturally, they're going to hit on the same idea independently. That doesn't prove nevuah. Ella, Omer Rava, Teda, so rather, Rava says, fine, here's how you can prove it. Dorma Gabra Rabba Milsa, a great Talmud Chacham may say a statement. And the same thing turns out to have been said in the name of Rabbi Akiva. Now, you're not going to say that this later Talmud Chacham has the same mazel as Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is definitely on a very much higher level than the later Talmud Chacham. Especially, we have the famous Gemara in Menachos, where Moshe Rabbeinu was shown in the future how Rabbi Akiva is going to be teaching Torah to his Talmidim, and he didn't understand at the beginning what Rabbi Akiva is saying, and he felt bad, etc. The whole story over there. So you're not going to say that if a later Talmud Chacham independently comes up with a point that Rabbi Akiva made, you're not going to say he's part of the same mazel. It must be it was a matter of nevuah, a matter of the semblance of nevuah that Chachamim have nowadays. However, Amar Rav Ashi, my kushya still, Rav Ashi says, why is that so hard to understand? Dumala hom milsa ban mazle de Rabbi Akiva hu. Maybe as far as this particular thing, he has the same mazel, the same root of the neshama as Rabbi Akiva. No, as a whole, of course, Rabbi Akiva is much greater, but in this particular area, in his connection to this particular part of Torah, maybe his neshama comes from the same place. Maybe that aspect of his neshama comes from the same place as Rabbi Akiva's. Neshamas can come from different places. You have neshamas of Atzilus. You have neshamas. Yeah, you have neshamas of Atzilus. You have neshamas of Bria, etc. But you can
be divided up.
Well, that's also true. A neshama can be divided up, right? But you also have different. Well, kind of. I mean, what we're saying over here is the person may have one particular aspect of his neshama comes from the same source as Rabbi Akiva's, or maybe even that he has a spark of Rabbi Akiva's neshama, to put it in terms that we often use that we often use in Hasidus. But it doesn't mean that it still doesn't require us to have nevuah. It means that this idea is embedded in the neshama, and therefore it came out. Elo, Amar Rav Ashi Teda. Rather, Rav Ashi says, here's the solid proof that Chachamim have nevuah. The Amar Gavra Rabba Milsa, a great Talmud Chacham, may say a statement in Torah, Omis Amra Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim Kavasei. And it turns out that what he said is actually a Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. Now, there, for sure, you're not going to say it's not a matter of the same mazel. Like, kom novi b'yisrael k'moshe. There was never anybody among the Jewish people like Moshe. So if he hits on this idea independently, then we have to say it was a matter of nevuah that was given to him. However, the Gemara says, why? The duma kasuma ba'aruba. Why? Maybe it happens, you know, like a blind person feeling around and happens to find the skylight. In other words, like, it may have been just like blind luck. So who says it was a matter of nevuah? But the Gemara says, after all, this second chacham, he doesn't just say it randomly. He gives a reasoning behind it. So it's not like the Summa Bar Ruba, where he just happens to find the skylight. He's actually delving into, he's putting in his mind into learning the Torah, and the Eibishter gives him Siyata Dishmaya, and he's zoicha to be mechaven, and to come up with an idea that matches a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So that shows that he's given a semblance of nevuah for that purpose. In other words, exactly that. It's Talmud Chacham, a person who's learning L'shem Shamayim. You know, we haven't Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, Kol Oisik LaTorah L'shma, Zoicha L'Dvarim Harbe. That person learns Torah L'shma, he's Zoicha to many things. So now we say so Megalim LeRoze Torah. Among them is either the secrets of Torah are revealed to him. So then we're saying over here that means, in other words, he has a semblance of nevuah at that point. Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh are not quite the same thing. The Ruach HaKodesh is a lower level of Nevuah. But that's many Mephoshim explain. That's what the Gemara means over here. When we say Nevuah was left by the Chachamim, it means the Ruach HaKodesh that makes it, that now the Chachamim have Siyata Dishmaya, they have assistance from Hashem to come up with a correct understanding of Torah. The Gemara says, here's another point, also about Nevuah. Miyom shechora beis mikdash. Since the beis mikdash. Now, so we had Rav Avdimi, the min Chayfa, was saying that after the Churban, the Nevuah has been given to the Chachamim, or left by the Chachamim. Now, Rav Yochanan says it differently. Miyom shechora beis mikdash. Since the beis mikdash was destroyed, nitla Nevuah min anavim, the Nevuah has been taken away from the Nevim, v'nitna l'shoitim v'latinoikis. And it was given to fools and children. Now, why should it be? Why dafka to fools and children? So there's quite a few reasons for that. Iyun Yaakov makes a point that Maharsha says first of all like this: it's not the same kind of thing. Real nevuah comes to Hashem or to a malach. When we talk about shotim and tinokos, we mean it comes to a shed. So Hashem still is sending down Ashba Malamaila, but it's coming in this distorted way through a shed, and it winds up by the Shotim and the Tinokas. Why dafka them? So there's a lot of reasons. One point is that the Maharal makes a point, they have less thoughts of their own. A person has, or a normal person has a lot of thoughts and ideas and everything of his own, and therefore, even if a message of Hashem comes to his neshama, it's likely to get distorted and filtered so much. It's likely to get filtered so much through his own thoughts and ideas and everything that it comes out that's not recognizable as what it originally came from the Eibishter. As opposed to Shotim and Tinokas have less of their own thoughts to think, so therefore they're like more. There's less of a filter of their own to distort the message min Hashemayim. Even Yaakov says the point that in order for the Shechina to rest on a person, he has to be happy. We're in Golos, we're not really able to be happy. Shoitim and Tinokas don't really feel that so much, especially you have there's the popular expression Shoita in a Nifka, a foolish person never feels harmed by anything because like he doesn't know better. So therefore, he's more able to get a sense of Nevor. Eitz Yosef makes another point as well. When we're not Usin Ritzon Neshamakim, then yes, similar to what Maharsha is saying, but a Malach versus a Shed, when we're not doing what the Eibishter wants, which is why we're in Golos in the first place, then the Nevuah has to come down in a backwards way. He gives a mushal, like as if, for example, like a king doesn't want to give the Suda to his servants, and he orders it thrown to the dogs, and the same way over here, it comes down in this way through improper channels, basically, and therefore it reaches us that way. Well, so now we'll see an example in the Gemara. So that's the Gemara is going to give an example of that now. L'shoite mayhi, what does it mean that a shoite has a semblance of nevuah? He heard the Marbar of Ashi have a koi beristika de Mechuzah. It happened once that Marbar of Ashi was standing in the marketplace of Mechuzah. Who shouted to Karmar, and he heard a certain shouter saying, Reish Mesivta, the Moloch B'mosa Machasya Hashta, the Rosh Yeshiva, who was soon going to rule in Mosa Machasya, Tavyumi Chosim, he signs with the name Tavyumi. Mosa Machasya is a city in Babel, it's a suburb of Surah. In the time of Marbar Rav Ashi's father, Rav Ashi, the central yeshiva had been one of the central yeshivas of Babel, had been in Mosa Machasya. In general, throughout most of the history of the Jewish people in Babel, there were, at least in the time of Amoraim and Goinim, there were two major yeshivas. First there was Nardar and Sura, later it was Pompidissa and Sura, and then occasionally they moved to other places. The one from Sura in Rav Ashi's times was located in Mosa Machasya. And apparently the yeshiva continued there afterwards as well. So now this shoite is saying the next Rosh Yeshiva in Mosa Machasya is going to be someone who signs his name Tavyumi. Omar, so Marbar Rav Ashi thinks to himself, Man Chosim B'Kulu Rabbanan Tavyumi, which of all the Chachamim signs his name Tavyumi? I know. I'm the one who signs his name that way. That means that Min HaShemayim, I realize that now my mazel is strong, and therefore it means that I'm going to be the next Rosh Yeshiva there. As long as he can get there fast enough from Mechuzah to Mosa Machasya is a distance. Now, the name Tavyumi actually means good days. So Maharsha brings from Sefer Yuchsin that in his time it was good for the Jews in Babel. As opposed to, actually we find in Igeres Reb Shuda Gaon, not long after Marbar Rav Ashi passed away, then there were various gzeiros by the Persian kings against the Jews of Babel. Maharsha says also, because we see over here that he actually ended up having a good day, his mazel did stand him in good stead, and he was appointed the Rosh Yeshiva, although Maharsha says either explanation, so how does it come about, how would he know to use that name before he knew how things are going to be, how things are going to be in the future. So in other words, a more balabatish way of answering it is his real name was Tavyumi. And just they called him Marbar Rav Ashi, which means our master, the son of Rav Ashi, out of respect. Anyway, so he realizes that this Shoita's statement is a semblance of Nevuah, and it means that he's going to be the next Rosh Hashiva. Come Asa. So he went and started heading towards Masa Machasya. Ada Asa, by the time he got there, Imnu Rabbanan Alei La'oisvei L'Rab Acham Midifti La'oisvei Bereisha. The Chachamim of the Yeshiva and Masa Machasya had voted to appoint Rab Acham Midifti as the next Rosh Hashiva. But Kad or Kivin Shami de Asa, when they heard that Mavra of Ashi, also a distinguished Talmud Chacham, had come to town, Boi Lamiftach, Rav Acham Midifti, and Rav Acham Midifti was going to start his shir, his official, his maiden shir, that would mark that he's officially the new Rosh Hashiva. However, Shodr Zugat, when they heard that Mavra of Ashi is in town, Shodr Zugat Rabbanan Lagabe Le'im Luchi Bey. They sent up two Talmud Chachamim to Mavra of Ashi to get his advice, or to get his consent. Does he agree to their choice of Rav Acham Midifti? In other words, they were great enough on their own to choose their next Rosh Hashiva, but when Mavra of Ashi, especially, his father had been Rav Ashi, the great Rosh Hashiva, a couple of decades before, they figured it's only Derech Eretz that we should check with him first. Akvinu, so he kept them by him. Ramav Rav Ashi kept them by him and didn't and asked them to stay and not to leave so quickly. So after a while, when these two didn't come back, the Chachamim Hadru Shodru Zugur Rabbanan Achmina. So they sent another pair of Talmud Chachamim to find out what's going on. Akvinu, he kept them also. Adam Molu Be'asara, until this happened over and over, and finally he had a group of 10 over there. Now Potzachi over ton of a Dorash, and at that point, Ramav Rav Ashi began his maiden Durasha, and the official Durasha that would mean that he's the Rosh Hashiva. Lafisha in Poskan Bakala, Pachas Nasara, because to begin the Kala, to begin the official sessions of the Yeshiva, you need at least 10. So to give him Smicha would have been enough 3, but to give him to appoint him as the official Rosh Hashiva, you need 10. So now that he had 10 over there, then he was able to give a Durasha, and it meant that now it meant that he's the new Rosh Hashiva. So he kind of, he finagled his way into the position. Now, why would he do such a thing? I mean, it doesn't seem so honest to do, Chas v'Shalom. So Ben Yehoyada points out a couple of things. First of all, the Gemara tells us that when a person is appointed to a high position, then all his averus are forgiven. So therefore, Mav Rav Ashi wanted to be able to take advantage of that. Second of all, also though, he says, think about it. After all, he realized that this Shoita had a semblance of Nevuah. What's going to happen if they appoint Rav Acham Midifti? The fact is, it's still going to have to be Min HaShemayim. It's apparently destined that he, Mavra Rav Ashi, is going to be a Rosh Hashiva in Masa Machasya at some point. So what's going to happen? It's going to have to mean Rav Acha is going to have to pass away, and then Mavra Rav Ashi will take over. He didn't want that. Therefore, better for him to get his way into the position, and after all, Rav Acha apparently doesn't have any specific siman min hashamayim that he will be the next Rosh Hashiva. So therefore, this way Rav Acha can continue to live a long life, albeit not as Rosh Hashiva, and the Nevuah will be Niskayim, and Mav Rav Ashi will have the position. So the Gemara says, Koy Rav Acha Midifti Anafshe, Rav Acha Midifti applied to himself the expression, Kol HaMerian Loi, anybody to whom it's done badly to him, min hashamayim, loy b'meheira mativin loy, is not very quickly going to have good done to him. In other words, he has to daven tremendously hard. In other words, he obviously is right now under a bad mazel, and he's going to have to daven and put in tremendous effort to ask the Eibishter to change that. B'chol mativin loy, and a person who has good done to him, loy b'meheira marian loy, then it's not so quickly that bad will be done to him. In other words, the mazel that a person has right now has a powerful influence on how things are going to be in the future. And the Gemara continues in parenthesis, V'lav milsihi, it's not really so. Agav tzare d'nafshe karma, he's saying it only because of his own tzar, it's not necessarily so. A person's mazel can change in a moment. Tosfos, in fact, points out, we learned in Baba Kama a couple of months back, that Rav Acha had said, he'll never have good done to him if it was done badly to him. So Tosfos points out the expression over here was he said loibim hera, it won't be quickly, because he still had hopes that after all he'll get the position after all of Rosh Hashiva. But when he saw after time passed that it wasn't happening, then he said loilamein mitivin loy. But that was based on his own personal experience. It's not necessarily a guideline for how it is with everybody else. Okay, so that shows, in other words, we see from that story that Shotim have a certain degree of Nevuah, and Mav Rav Ashi took it seriously enough to hurry to Masa Machasya and end up getting himself appointed Rosh Hashiva. Okay, what about children? We'll learn about that. We'll learn about that next time. That's the shame.
Rav Acha Bar Vedifta.
Rav Acha Medifti, yeah.
I mean, Ravashi, I don't understand what the problem is, because they wanted to consult with him what he thinks about this whole thing. Obviously, they want to give him the position. They said,
no, not necessarily they want to give him the position.
What do they want to consult him about?
Consult with him. Do you agree that Rabbi Chaim Difke is qualified for the position of Rosh Yeshiva? He didn't say that Rabbi Chaim is not qualified. He just he works things out that he should have the position instead. Mind you,
they didn't consult him to say maybe you want to be?
No, apparently not. Mind you, his father, Rav Ashi, had been the Rosh Yeshiva a few decades before. There is a concept in Halacha that many times a son inherits his father's position. So different Rishonim and Achronim talk about over here. Taka, why does Rav Ashi have to kind of finagle his way into the position? Why Taka didn't they offer it to him in the first
place? Yeah.
So one answer is that one answer is that not necessarily with Rosh Yeshivaship does that apply. That applies to a king, it applies to a Kohen Gadol, it doesn't necessarily apply to being the head of a yeshiva. Another answer, though, is yes, it does. However, here, Rav Ashi had passed away a few decades earlier. Had it been right after Rav Ashi passed away, then Marba Rav Ashi, was his son, was qualified for the position, then yeah, they should have offered it to him. But now that's a few decades later, and there had been a few other Rosh Yeshiva in between, then he doesn't have any greater claim than anybody else, and therefore the only way he was going to get the position is with this whole story over here. Is another example, but the Gemara is going to give. We'll learn next time, Beis Hashem, a different example of Nevuah from children. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ula, the Rebbe talks about in Tafshin Nun Beis, in our time, and in our generation, in our time, if we look at the simonim that Chazal give us in the Masechta Sanhedrin and Midrashim and other places, we're definitely in the stage of Ge'ula, of actual Ge'ula. As the Rebbe talked about in many sichas, after all the tremendous amount of maaseinu v'avadaseinu, of all our actions and mitzvahs that we've done throughout the generations, especially all everything that the Rebbeim put into it, up to and including the avodah of the Friedrich Rebbe and our Rebbe, then at that point we finished all the birurim.
What's your
on that? The refinement of sparks of kedusha that are in the world. At this point, as the Rebbe talked about, we have to, as the Friedrich Rebbe and the Rebbe talked about, then we just have to do the last finishing touches. Continuing with halachas from the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch about Asher Yotzer and about Asher Yotzer and Avakai Neshama. So the Alter Rebbe had talked about the idea that some people have the minhag to wait with Al Netzilas Yadayim until they go to shul, if they're going to shul first thing in the morning, and then they say Al Netzilas Yadayim and all the rest of morning brachas together. But the Alter Rebbe says, if you're going to be doing something else before Shacharis, then don't do that. Say Al Netzilas Yadayim right after you washed. Therefore, he goes on to say, so doing slichas and doing the yomim neroyim, people say slichas or say tilim or other things, then they start doing Al Netzilas Yadayim or Asher Yotzer. No matter how you look at it, it's no good. Because if they hadn't yet said Al Netzilas Yadayim Asher Yotzer, then it's a big hefsek between the washing and Asher Yotzer, and they shouldn't be doing that, especially Asher Yotzer, as the Alter Rebbe said. One possibility is you're supposed to say it, whether you went to the bathroom or not, just as an expression of thanks to the Eibishter for recreating you today. And if they already made the brachas, then it's a bracha levatola to say it again. Even the chazan shouldn't say it twice. Even if he means to be moitzi, the rabbim, it's still considered a bracha levatola, because Mela, back when people didn't know how to daven, you could say the chazan have to say the brachas to be moitzi them, but nowadays everybody says the brachas for themselves, so therefore you shouldn't do it. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, if a chazan then wants to follow the common Ashkenazic minhag and say these and not say these brachas when he's davening by the Amud, then be careful to not say them before he goes there, and also not to interrupt with tilim or looning or anything else, and then he's able to say them b'tzibur, because he says them for himself, and then he doesn't say them by the teva. Minhag Chabad anyway, as the Chazan only starts saying from right before Hodu anyway, so this whole thing is a little bit of a moot point.
But even for the Litvish people, we do Al Netzilas Yadayim in the morning.
So that's the thing.
Way before going to bed.
So are those who have the minhag that you can find in many shuls where they do Birkas HaShachar together, and sometimes they do Al Netzilas Yadayim and Asher Yotzer as part of them as well. The more common Veltish minhag is not to do that, but rather to start with the we'll start with Hanoi Simul Sechri Bina, yeah. And that avoids all the issues, yeah.